This is the Ninja Rob Podcast with Marco Perazzo and Tim Carpenter. The podcast for the true martial artist.
What's up, douchebag? It's your man, JB. I'm running the show tonight.
Wow.
So it's episode 100. Are we correct, Marco?
Okay. Yeah.
You can talk. I said your name.
Okay. My dream of him taking on the producing from here on out.
No, bro.
Just went down in the flames.
Really?
I like that. That was a high energy opening.
Yo, that's how we do it, son. Yeah. I have to project into the microphone.
You just got to talk into it.
Every single time.
Can we talk about your hair? My hair? Right now?
You know what? I like it because
I'm maintaining the curls, son.
I always curls have a hard time opening. It feels very...
I'm good at opening.
Forced.
No, he
tried to come up with like some long-winded fucking bullshit story that happened to you during the week, but he just, you know, came out with, hey, douchebags.
What's up, douchebags?
I'm just curious. I'm not sure. What do you mean... Some long-winded.
No, a lot of times when people, I'm not saying on this podcast. I'm saying like some other podcast I've heard. Like people start off and they just start talking about some fucking
goofy story,
inane fucking horseshit that happened to them during the week, and they try to pass it off like it's interesting.
You know what I love? What you and do? Then, like after someone finishes, you're like, yeah, that was interesting. And like when you like that, yeah.
Dev, I really like the way you did it.
What up, Dev?
What up?
Everything good?
Yeah, it's good.
We had a major loss. We had a major loss.
No, beyond major.
No,
a regular major.
You guys talking about Prince Philip, right?
No, that's what I was going to say. No.
Too soon.
I was
too soon.
That's you're cutting in. Nah, I was going to say you guys had a major loss.
Too soon.
Because
he was 99 years old. He has still a lot of life.
Yo, let's talk about Dark Man X.
Yeah, we had real royalty.
Come on, son.
We had actually real royalty that earned his.
Yo, and if you go back to listen to his
music. I think they might have the same amount of children out of wedlock, too.
You think so?
I think
Prince Philip was in them streets?
Yes.
Yo, he had 99 years to run them, son. And he was off I think he was in the army, the military, and all that other horseshit.
Yeah, I think
he's
from England.
Yeah, he's from England, but he was out in Africa. Who knows what he was doing? But we lost DMX, gentlemen, that, you know, Dev and I are devastated, and you guys lost Prince Philip. We just want to make sure checking in.
I'm really not affected by either.
Not really?
Oh, no. Hold on. Listen, man.
Well,
listen.
I would say none of us are affected by either, because when's the last time DMX... put out something that was
okay. So hold on. So
I'm not saying like I like DMX.
No. So here we go.
Let's go.
Where this starts. So I want to be clear and say that I love DMX. DMX Grand Champ is the greatest DMX album to me. It's the fifth one, five times Grand Champ.
Really?
And every single time I've ever walked in, it's loud. Oh, every single time I've walked into the dojo. I listen to DMX some X shit
to get you right
every single time. It's a routine. It's in my playlist every fucking
no.
Time.
That's great workout music.
Not training music. Not to take a shot at Devin, but I wonder when the last time was he went through that routine.
Must not have heard DMX in a while.
Whoa! Shots fired.
Actually,
shots fired.
Actually, it became my drawling and fixing house music.
Right? That's the music you listen to when you dropping your little man off. Like, hey, go train real hard. I'll see you later. That's what you rocking. So how do you feel about Prince Philip, Timmy? I know you're a big royal, you know what I mean? You're all about
big
it.
Big into the royal family. I'm still not ready to talk about it. But we could talk about DMX if you want. Like DMX. I was more of a fan of DMX than I was.
This is my
Prince
issue. Listen, man, the prince is the prince. Why wasn't he the king? Anyone know?
Because he married the queen.
That's right. So
a woman cannot elevate a man to that royal status, but a man can elevate a woman to the royal status.
Are you that's telling me that any up. A man could roll? He could roll out in the streets and pick any bum bitch and just make it a queen? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily phrase it that way.
A bum bitch sounds terrible.
Yeah. What would you? What would you?
How would you say?
What would your synonym be for bum bitch?
I would say, like, in the case of, like, Prince Charles, he went out and found a woman that was not of royal blood or of, you know, high status in society. She's just a normal, everyday, but it's still lovely woman.
Oh, I thought you were going to say black girl.
Oh, okay.
No, he found a... you're thinking of the other one.
Meghan Markle.
Well, you said William, but not Charles.
In what world is she a black woman?
In what world?
Yo, did you mean Charles?
She's a red bone.
She is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just looks like, I thought maybe... At most, some sort of Hispanic, but
you thought maybe she was Hawaiian.
I thought she was Italian or something.
Yeah, red bone.
Oh, okay,
Sicilian.
What's that mean?
That's red bone.
Whoa, we need a whole podcast on that. Son.
I guess
that's a very or like
maybe that could be an add-on to your gang talk podcast
next time.
Yeah,
next time. So my only issue with DMX, rest in peace, rest in power to my G.
The new term is rest easy.
Rest easy. Yeah. I like rest in power. I'm
yeah,
still
rest
old.
Easy's gay.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you? Come on. Son.
I just couldn't listen
first
to
it's
a
bum
lot.
Bitch. Now it's gay. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You see that? You see? Yo, yeah. I love how you.
You're going to get attacked by the bottom letters.
Why? Wow, he's the one saying the.
I mean, what would be wrong with Rest Easy being gay?
Well, listen to anyone.
If that's what Rest Easy's choice was. Why is that a choice bother you to be for Rest Easy?
Yo, how do you
get?
Because
how do you
DMX should not rest easy. He should rest in power.
You just jump in.
Yeah. Just cut him off.
I got to coach him on how to produce.
Boom. How to go in. Yeah. I'm just wondering. I'm like, yo, these guys are talking to each other. I just couldn't listen to a whole album of X. That was the only thing. Yo, I can listen to songs, but I just can't. I would just, because by the end of the album, I want to kill someone. I want to, I want to commit robbery.
You couldn't listen to the first DMX album.
Not the entire thing. I'm just saying, not in one, because I'm by the end, man, I'm too riled up. It's too amazing. Like, it's crazy.
You know what I didn't like? So, I don't know if this is a common thing.
Go ahead.
In all rap hear. Music. But there's always, like, these skits at the beginning.
Or in the middle, or in between songs, if you listen to a whole album.
A whole skit.
It's an audio movie. It sets a mood.
They're called interludes.
I did. The one thing I really liked about DMX, and I don't know if, again, I don't know if this is also common in rap music, but he would have like he would be playing both parts of the conversation.
That's
in
no,
some
no.
songs. I love when guys do that. Like I think the Notorious Big did that. As
oh,
well.
That guy.
Yeah,
the Notorious
Big.
Look at this guy. Yeah,
but he didn't really change his voice. That's
right.
The difference.
Yeah, yeah.
This dude used to really be like changing his voice.
He did though.
Like when R. Kelly did In the Closet. Tim, you're familiar with that song, right?
No, he did change his voice in when he's like he goes really really high.
Who?
Big. He go in that one song. I forgot
which
the name
one.
Of the song.
Give me the loot.
Yes. Bang.
Whoa.
Yo. Rah, take that.
Oh shit.
Yo, you're really immersing yourself in gang culture.
Supremacy, bro. Hey. Right there. Timmy Supremacy. You like that? You like that? I didn't turn that. But and give me the loot. That's his voice. Because somebody else was supposed to be in it and they never showed up. So he did.
See, because when he did all those other ones where he would talk and then he would rap like he was Puffy or something like that, like back and forth, it would be the same voice. Where DMX is probably the most original rapper ever as far as like the character. Mm. He's a, you know, he's a... dog
he's
barking.
Say, he's no. a big. He's a big MF.
He's the,
Doom
no, no, no,
he's
no,
big,
no, 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 no. Think barker. About it. He's a dude from the streets that robbed people, right?
Yeah.
And that's his like character, this gritty robber, not never the rich guy, even when he got money.
Yes.
Right? He walks around with dogs, right? He barks. He literally goes is in a motorcycle gang, right? But is a church.
Yo, he
dude
starts preaching
that
at all times.
Prays at the
at
concert and has thousands of people pray with him at a concert at the same time, and he smokes crack. This and everyone
he sounds like a conflicted artist.
He's a
correct, but what I'm saying
individual.
Is, if you were building a character, you wouldn't think to put these ingredients almost don't mix, and he never wavered. So the difference with DMX is, Tupac Shakur, if you sat him down with Obama, right, and he was still alive. He could conduct himself totally different. He'd be speaking properly.
He could code switch.
Square code switch. DMX is so himself that it would just be like, son, like the shit you did, becoming a president and shit, that shit was ill, son. Like, I'll fuck with it. You know what I'm saying? The niggas in the hood, like, we fuck with you, all bodies, huh? You feel me?
Yeah.
That was it, Sonny Chandler. Yo, rest in peace to the dogs, huh?
Rest in power.
That was it. Yo, wife said
rest
he ran through.
Rest easy.
Rest easy. His wife ran through 200 million?
His wife ran?
No, his wife said he ran through 200 million.
Him and his 15 kids.
I don't think 17, he had 15 then.
17.
He didn't have them then.
Shout out to Jay-Z.
We're rounding up.
They forget the.
Why are we shouting out Jay-Z? Yeah.
Jay-Z
other than the
buying
obvious.
Back his masters and giving for $10 million
to his family.
And giving it to his kids.
Bang, son.
That's a very nice gesture.
What can you say about
that? Because that's long haul money right
yes,
there.
Yes, that's security. Even if it's at $3 a day.
Whatever.
Well, I would say if they already ran through $200 million, $10 million,
well, that was
not long haul money.
I mean, listen, when you give a drug addict who's very powerful and famous,
you know,
and he can do whatever
family's
he wants.
Making some claims on how he died.
Okay, I'm sure.
Vaccine.
COVID vaccine.
There's a lot. Listen, man, there's all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds. I'm sure they're going to be able to, they're going to say stuff for months. And the conspiracy theories just run.
Pfizer, be careful.
Watch out. Yeah, they're coming for you. The ex's family's coming for you. Everybody done? You done? You all right?
Listen, this ain't a DMX podcast, is it?
Right? No, it's not. Okay. But you channeled him. That was good enough.
I was like, you said in the beginning, I didn't know what his name stood for.
Yeah, Dark Man X.
Dark Man X.
That's yeah. Yo, he has, yo, if you delve into his past, it's horrible, bro. Yeah. Yo, his mom takes him to like a home And he's like, yeah, we're just going to go see somebody. And then she leaves him there, son. As a little kid, he was like, he had no idea.
Single parent?
I believe so. Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
Earl Simmons.
Yo, man, she just straight, she told him we were going to go see somebody.
And just and left him. Was she a drug addict as well?
I believe so. He said.
And then he got tricked into smoking crack.
Crack, yeah.
How old was he when he got tricked?
14? 14, I think he said. Yeah. He got laced. 50? It was a laced.
Okay. Oh, and a cigarette?
It was a laced, I think it was a blunt. Okay. A laced blunt. But what I really wanted to get into now is talk about our mentors, if anyone's had any mentors. I know you guys have had interesting ones and ones in the martial arts. So, Timmy, do you remember any of your child? I had a three brackets, childhood, young adult, and then adult. Not that you may have them as an adult. When you were like a kid.
Kid? I don't really remember.
All right.
Once I started doing judo, my judo instructor.
Got you.
Joe Condello. Then I would put him, Steve Maxwell.
Then Marco. Where's Marco?
Yeah, I put both you guys in there.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. Both you guys have been there at important moments in my life.
Most important.
To guide me, you know?
Yeah, of course. Keep you on track.
I wouldn't put you guys very high up there, but just still.
Part of the pyramid. We'll take it.
Yeah, judo. And it's all basically been through the martial arts as far as I can remember. Even the guys that have helped me with things outside of martial arts, I've met through the martial arts.
Yeah.
So.
That's why it's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you consider yourself a mentor to anyone right now?
Yeah, I think I help out the younger guys at the gym.
Gotcha.
Anybody at the gym. The kids, the adults. You can even, when you're the martial arts instructor, sometimes you end up being a mentor to a guy that's older than you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's one of the cool, we've talked about this in the past, how you can have a 70-year-old best friend as a 25-year-old guy if you're doing martial arts.
People are able to, you might have a guy that's a CEO of a huge company as your student. And you're like, man, how the fuck does this guy run this business and handle all this shit that he's going through?
Yeah.
And he's asking, he's like, how the fuck do I get out of the mount? And that little question to him is way more important than
he built this multi-billion dollar company.
And it almost feels like you're on an even playing field now because he's talking to you. I heard it one time as this guy who was a pilot was in a doctor's office, and the doctor, he was like, man, he's the same age as me. Wow, he's a doctor. That's amazing. And then the doctor says, you're a pilot with the same age. That's amazing. How'd you do that? And it was this whole thing. You ever have any shitty mentors, the people that taught you how to shoplift, or you don't have to name them, but the shoplifters or the, hey, listen, take this bag of popcorn, just stuff it under your nuts. You'll be fine.
Nh, I pretty much stayed away from
committing
crimes.
Really?
You waited until later life.
You've never been arrested or put in jail for anything?
I've been arrested. I mean,
all right.
But they were
accused,
all for things.
You've been accused of crimes.
Son.
I've been accused, charged, put on trial, but
yeah,
I beat them all.
That's
undefeated.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Marco, what about you? Some of your,
same thing? Definitely. And a different.
You mean negative mentors, guys that steered you in the wrong direction?
Dudes that, I had shitty ones that were telling you all kinds of goofy shit. Yeah. He wasn't that bad then.
So, interestingly enough, along the way, kind of when I was a kid, hopefully we all look up to our parents in a good way, right? When you're a child, but also one of my longest and dearest friends, his dad was a city councilman and an attorney, and I'd never been around anybody that worked for themselves because my dad had always had a job; he had worked for other people. So I just thought, you woke up, you do your 9 to 5, you come home. Every time I went to my friend's house, I was like, yo, how come your dad's home all the time? He's like, well, he owns his own law firm and blah, blah, blah. He does this. And I was like, I don't get any of this. I don't understand. Even though I had uncles that were entrepreneurs and had their own businesses, they were in other countries, so I could never kind of learn from them.
It's interesting that you said that because I heard something that says you can't be what you can't see.
Right.
So even though they're in your family, you don't see them, so it's hard for you
to understand.
I looked
up to them, but I couldn't, I didn't understand what they were going through. Yes, exactly. Nice. Right. And
rest in power.
Yeah.
Rest
my easy. Uncle Carlo too. So there was one, right, where he also got us understanding because he had did judo a little bit.
Really?
Sensei Ishikawa was his instructor. He would always, he took judo for 6 weeks, but he said, Ishii loved me.
Yo, I love those guys. Yeah, I love the guys that did it for you.
So then when we got, he's the guy that rented the first UFC.
Really?
That nice. I watched and kind of got me to where I am now. But also just knowing him, kind of you realize that there are divergent paths to how your life can be. So he was always really good to us, as the kids that were around that house, but never directly mentoring or teaching us.
Right,
like the example that he set in certain areas was great for us to see, hey, you know what? You can be. One time he said to me, can you get this out of my cigarette pocket? And I go, what the fuck are you talking about? And he just starts laughing. Ah, you fucking son of an immigrant. He goes, it's the pocket right here that they build on custom suits for cigarettes. Hey. I go, I didn't even know that you
this
can get a
cup. This guy was having you reach into his pants?
Into his vest.
His vest.
Into his vest. On, it was hanging up somewhere. And so just knowing that there are these other aspects of the world that you didn't have access to, and with him, I got access to it.
Right.
So that was early on, and then that's kind of where I got, you know, like some ideas like, you know what? Maybe being in business for myself is something that I can do. Not directly then, but kind of the lead up. Then I worked for a guy through the jiu-jitsu school we were in, Russell Redenbaugh.
Right.
So you guys know Russell. He's an amazing story and also a motherfucker of a human being in a good way and a bad way, right? So like definitely good and bad aspects. But went blind as a teenager during a bottle rocket accident. Lost 6 out of 10 of his fingers during this bottle rocket accident. Tried to get into Harvard, and they told him no because of your disabilities, you're not going to be anything. And then he winds up going to Wharton, the University of Pennsylvania, graduating 2nd or 3rd in his class. And when he made his first million, he sends his tax return to the dean of admissions at Harvard and said, "Well, here's the guy that didn't make anything."
Eat a dick.
Yeah, basically. But with him, I learned a lot of things. But one of the best things I learned from him as a mentor was always be ready, right? And don't tell me, show me, right? Those are the two, like, if I was anything that I walked away with, always be ready. Because we sat at desks, right? So there was 3 of us, and he was blind, but if he needed something or he wanted something from me, he would just fucking turn to me and look at me. He's like, what do you got for me? The first couple of times I didn't have anything for him. I'd have 4 things ready just in wait. Like, all just right, if he fucking right. calls, this Boom. Is... I got to have this because I was doing investment research for him. He only dealt with high net worth individuals, right? $1 million or more. And I had a high school diploma. I only got to be working with him at this high level because we did jiu-jitsu together.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, like I would do security for him if he needed kind of like a bodyguard during some instances. And then I did research for him. And so from a standpoint of outside of kind of like my parents, those would be the 2 biggest mentors or influences, but again, not directly saying, hey, I'm going to take you under my wing
right.
and help you float up, but me looking at these very successful people and saying, what can I embody from them and do myself?
Got you. Now, the question I asked Timmy, I think I'm going to rephrase it. Instead of like mentors that teach you like dumb shit or bad shit, just some of them that try to help you be a little more street smarter and get involved in different things, the alternatives to certain things. Did you have anyone like that in your life?
Yeah, definitely right. did. The guy that got me into being a degenerate gambler
yes.
was a guy that I worked for. Loved me, was part of our family.
Yeah.
I mean, but got me involved in a life that... at this time, at that young age, I shouldn't have been around these people and doing these things. And I blew through a lot of money because of what I kind of learned from him.
Right.
But I also learned a lot of street smarts from him, from that, you know, who to look out for, how to deal with people, how to not take shit from anybody. And also, he was probably 5'4", maybe 170 pounds, and there's no way anybody could look at him and say, that's a handsome gentleman. He had more hot women and more hot girlfriends than anybody I knew, especially based on his physical attributes. So then with him, I'd learned certain levels of confidence that, you know what? Shoot your shot. Go for it.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it. The dope thing. Now, listen to me now, Ninja Nation. I'm going to call him Ninja Nation. The dope thing is that I know the answer to these questions before I ask, especially with Marco. And yo, so those stories are fucking epic, son. So I'm just smiling because I know, and we can't go in the statute of limitations. We still got another 35 years before Marco starts spilling all the beans. So, but great stories, and that's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Dev, what's up? Let's hit us with the mentors, the good ones first.
I was just in the streets, son.
Don't do it.
It was fucked up.
One DMX impression at
Nah, man, it's DMX podcast. Day, man. Nah. Listen, with dudes like me that got receding hairlines and shit.
Yeah, I don't understand what that's like.
So, exactly. So that's why we gotta represent for DMX. Growing up, no. None. At all. Just my friends. Me and my same age friends was all each other's dads.
Really?
Basically. Gotcha. Yeah, kind of. And then when I got older, when I was grown, I had a mentor in the music business named Frankie Storm, who showed me the way of like songwriting and how the music business worked and everything like that. That's who I signed to, that had us working at Cash Money and all these big companies, Disney, Hollywood Records, Sony. All of that was through her. And she wrote, Please Don't Stop the Music.
Oh, she's a biggest. Woman. Frankie's a woman.
Frankie's a woman. Frankie's a woman. Yeah. And that's funny because that's what her, everything would say, Frankie is a girl at whatever.com. Frankie is a girl.
Gotcha.
Because people would say stuff like, oh, yeah, I know Frankie. He cool as hell. Like,
now I know.
Right. You're a fucking liar. You don't know who that is. Right. You know what I'm saying? But Frankie Storm is the person that taught us everything. And, she's a different type of motherfucker, crazy as hell, wild imagination, and that's what helps her write all them songs.
Right. But
now, do you have any mentees right now, or are you looking forward to trying to see if you could meet somebody to kind of like school, give them all the problems?
Now, in that regard, I'm that for a countless amount of people.
Okay.
I can't even tell you how many people call me to need to know how to do everything that I do. So that list is insane. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
And then we have, obviously, like... our nonprofit, which is a totally different thing with the kids.
New Souls.
Yeah,
new
with Souls. New Souls and everything like that. So as far as people, me mentoring other people, there's a whole bunch of people that call me their mentor, but I don't think of it like that.
Right.
I did have, like, now that you, so since you rephrased it.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So when I was bouncing, when I first started bouncing, I was like 19, so I was like a complete idiot. I had no idea, like.
Is this Big Fat Timmy?
No, I was.
Oh, okay.
Medium fat,
all right. Yeah, was this like Timmy that fought up in Hoboken, Timmy? That one, like swollen Timmy?
Closer. I was really into lifting and stuff.
Fat body.
But so I didn't know when I first started bouncing. I had no idea like what was dangerous, what was not. I would just like run into shit or get up in anybody's face and like try to like move people around. So I had other bouncers, like older bouncers that had been there for a while, tell me like, this isn't a guy that you want to, like, you know what I mean? This guy might be involved in some things. Like, he would know some of the guys from South Philly or just guy, like, there's a lot of criminals that
You might win the physical altercation, but the long haul effect.
So, when we've hung out and we look at each other like, yo, it's time to leave.
Yeah.
Remember that we've done that? Yeah. We're like, yo, it's time to go.
So, having a guy point out who the guys are that, you know.
Who the players are.
Right. Yes. And it's not necessarily that they would cause trouble. It's just that, like, if something happens, don't necessarily get involved with that guy.
Gotcha.
Like that kind of thing. And then just being able to recognize like who the drug dealers are, who the prostitutes are, like in the bars and stuff like that.
Right.
Like that kind of stuff is not, you don't even have to point them out. Now I can just spot them.
Yes.
Even if I go into a bar that I'm not a regular at, I'm like, oh, that guy's.
He's the guy selling drugs. She's a prostitute.
Yeah.
Boom. This is the owner. Bonk. You got it all down.
Yeah.
You know what? Those lessons that we learn, like that they're kind of like, they have this, they carry this separate type of weight. If it's street cred, if it's just a knowing, because, you know, when you walk into a place, you know how to read the room. Reading the room is so important.
Yeah,
so that's what makes it important. So for me, it was early on. It was probably one of my first karate instructors because, you know, I had both parents in the house. And but my man Rob, man. Rob was like fearless.
Ninja Rob.
Yes. Ninja Rob was fearless. He would swing on anybody. He says, yeah, you gonna fuck me up. He starts stretching. He'll tell you to wait.
Oh, you're going to fuck. So is this where you got, I need this ass kicking?
No, no, no,
is that
no, no.
Is that an extrapolation?
No.
Extrapolation.
That just came.
Extrapolation.
That just came naturally. Like, I need this ass kicking. You promised me. But no, so I
would like to think that maybe, and I don't want to take the show over from you because you're just producing.
No, you do. You're right there. Go ahead.
But I would think.
Slow it down, Marco.
Maybe he was the inspiration for I Need That Ass Kicking.
I don't think so.
No?
No. You know, maybe if I think about it, but that was, you know, it was real quick. You know, sometimes I could just, my shit talkery game.
Pretty
you
good.
Know, I start going. So, you know, he was the neighbor. It was right there. And then later on after him, and he taught me a bunch of different things, you know what I'm saying? And some of it wasn't very accurate, but, and then my next karate instructor was Sensei Lingo. He was a college graduate. He's like a tax guy in the city. Like, he was, you know, really smart. You know what I mean? He had all
so I met Sensei Lingo one time at the karate store. And I mentioned your name, and he got vibrant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's my guy, man. I've
you know, I'm not used to that when I mention Jason's name, and people
mostly like, oh shit, you know him? Yeah. So it was him, and then there was just more like through the martial arts. Like we've all had the good fortune of meeting fascinating and interesting people through the martial arts, and most of them are my martial arts were my martial arts instructors or instructors. Other instructors that were on the same wavelength as like a Sensei Lingo. So Master Thornton, a guy, Sensei Allen. But my other stuff was my man Doe on the other end of it was
your
my man Doe.
Yeah. D-O-E?
D-O-E.
Or and not that's, D-O-U-G-H.
That's all we getting.
Okay.
Doe. And he, you know, he laid a lot of other game. That's where I don't do business on rainy days comes from.
Never wear your hood on your head?
You're in the car, take your hat off. Don't wear your hat while you're in the car.
Why not?
Because you're just more likely to get pulled over.
I got you.
So it was like street stuff, not just that. And then there was
you're not supposed to wear it indoors either.
Right. Well, this was a whole nother reason. And he did it generally because he was what some would say riding dirty. Like he didn't want to get pulled over at all. You know, he might make sure at all costs. But, you know what I mean? Shout out to him. Prom money. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. You know what I mean? I bought so many, what's the thing? Corsages. I was, it ended very well for me. So that was the... You guys are in the frame?
No, I just making sure you got in.
Right. So those are like kind of like my guys outside of like my dad, my parents, my father, who I modeled, you know, taking care of business, handling things. So I'm gonna move on to how many times have you been choked out?
I don't know.
Abruptly.
Countless?
Really? I'm saying abruptly. I'm changing to how many times have you been choked out? To sleep.
Tons of them.
Tons. Of them. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, not. I have no idea what the number
is. So tons, a ton is like 2,000 pounds.
So 2,000 pounds times I've been.
Right. And the reason I'm saying this is so if anyone out there, it happens to you, you know, I'm not Dick Flute and Timmy, high-level jiu-jitsu, two high-level black belt jiu-jitsu instructors run their own schools. So you know if it happens to you, it's okay. It's happened to Timmy.
The times that it happens to me, it hasn't really been like I've been fighting and like resisting super much. It's like, sometimes a choke can be in and you don't even realize how deep it is. So like you feel like, all right, I'm okay. I got some time here. And then you just wake up.
Yeah.
I've never like been stubborn. It's always just been like, I think I can get out of this. And then I wake up. It actually happened maybe a couple months ago.
Nice.
One of my students had like a guillotine on me. I don't think he realized, but I told him after I was like, I was asleep for like 10 seconds. Like, like he had it on me and I was like trying to escape. And as I was coming up, I think I had initiated like the sweeper escape. So I passed out when I got on top of him. And then it was like, there's like this in between of like completely unconscious and
REM sleep.
Twilight. You still have tension in your body, but you can't move it. You can hear things, but you can't react to them.
You are explaining it exactly the way I remember it.
Every single time, man.
So it's like you hear people talking, you know what's going on, but you're just like, it's like you're watching it happen. You're not able to like move your body. That's kind of like usually how it happens.
Gotcha.
And one time I was going with Tim Williams and he had me in like a standing arm triangle. We were sparring with like big gloves and he had me in a standing arm triangle and I was like, this isn't going to work. And I did like a trip and took him down. I was like, all right, I'm on top. And then next thing I know, he was standing over me and I was waking up.
Yo, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, have you ever been put to sleep by anyone in this room?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I can't. It would be a fucking picture up on my wall.
Gotcha. Yeah, he would never let me forget that.
What about you, Marco?
I have not been choked to sleep a ton of times.
Right.
But I've been choked to sleep enough. And you know, it kind of happens more early and less later.
Yes.
Right? And the times that it happened.
Mine's actually been the opposite.
Really?
That's because you just, you going. You just go.
Yeah, I feel like I know how to get out of things better. Right. So I don't know. I just, like, it's always happened when I barely feel like it's in.
So I remember. Like, I know for whatever reason, maybe it's just kind of like how my neck is built. I know the physiological response that happens before I'm about ready to go out. So once I start seeing what look like fireflies, and my teeth go numb. I go, if I don't tap now, I'm gonna go to sleep. You know, so like the kind of, it almost feels like all the blood has come out of my head. But yeah, as I've been put to sleep a few times, and it's never been terrible, in the sense of
that's not bad at all.
No, I had a funny story. I was going against some monster 6'6" or 6'8" guy at max exercise, and he had me in an X choke, and I used to be able to, this is how terrible our technique was at a certain point, is I used to be able to stand up in somebody's guard while they had a full-on X choke, and they couldn't hold on. Well, when I stood up, this guy didn't move. Next thing I know, I start passing out, or next thing I don't know, I start passing out forward, and the guy kind of moves out of the way. So I'm going to fully limp, falling over from this X choke. And luckily, Jared Wiener is walking past me on the mat and grabs the scruff of my neck
nice.
To kind of like not let me fall on my face. And the other crazy fun time that had happened was against Ann Lorino. She's a woman. She's got me mounted. She puts a box choke on me. I bump and roll out of the box choke and get put to sleep mid-roll. And I bump and roll out of the mount. And the first thing I could think of is I have to tell everybody that she put me to sleep because I got to get in front of this thing before I start catching shit for, you know, quote unquote, a woman choking me to sleep. But it really, that was I'm not going to say the first time, but maybe the biggest time I realized, wow, doesn't matter that I'm a man, doesn't matter that I'm bigger and stronger. If she gets the move right, I went out.
I remember the first time I got put to sleep was do you remember this Irish guy? He trained at Maxercise. His name was like Brendan or Brandon, but he also trained at the Edgemont Judo Club.
Okay.
So he did both.
Like from
he was
Ireland?
Like, he had a thick Irish accent.
No, I don't remember.
He was like a pretty like short, stocky dude.
Right.
But he was the first guy to ever put me to sleep. He put me in, it was like a X choke from, I was in on top in his half guard and he had it on me.
Okay.
And I remember it being like really tight and then just waking up like on top of him. He was like tapping me on the side of the head like, hey, you all right? But I was like, but I remember everything coming back in slowly. Yes. And him talking to me and tapping me on the side of the head. And then
I love the weird breathing that occurs as you're kind of coming
the gargle.
Up. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dev, you ever been choked out? You've been at the school, at the martial arts school. It's never happened?
Not in bed.
Have you?
No. We don't do that type of stuff.
Have you ever have you ever choked anyone out? Have you ever, you know?
No, I never choked. Like to sleep, people just tap out.
Oh, okay,
yeah, but cool. Sometimes people won't.
Yeah, sometimes they won't.
So Marco told me before that he would have went to sleep before giving up. Like
that happens.
Like he told me he was not tapping out. Basically, he told me he's not going to tap out to me. He'd rather just go to sleep.
that's well, one of those.
So because I think I remember is like, how did you not tap to that choke?
Yeah,
it was like it was on tight.
Yeah.
And I go, I would have let myself go to sleep. But what I really meant was I know how far I could let it go before I go to sleep.
Before you go to
so
sleep.
So then I could keep fighting it because you also, the one thing that I do that I think helps me not get choked to sleep is you never know how tight the choke is. My face is the same the whole time. So you don't see me.
Stone face, son.
That's give it that extra like encouragement. Like now I see the death in his eyes and it's like, ah!
And that's why I'm
blowing my butthole out, choking somebody.
Hey, we're going to get to the honey hole blow up.
Okay. But yeah, so that'll be a big reason why sometimes I'm not getting choked to sleep. And I'll go at the end. I was like, yo, you almost had that. Really?
Nice.
I was like, yeah, I can't let you see me in pain.
That's it. Let's speak. And you've never done it to anyone else, right? At the school?
No.
No. Okay. No. Now,
he did ruin a man's singing career once.
Hey, listen, man, that's guy's problem.
Yeah.
Sorry. No falsetto for you, sir.
People tap out.
Listen, quick back to the mentor thing. There was a guy at Maxercise, the only person that was nice to me, a guy named Marty, little, what they call like a fire plug type of guy. And he said to me one time, he says, if you just hold on a little longer than they hold on, then you could win. And I was like, what? And I didn't realize that like sometimes, then I started to notice like, I'm ready to tap and the guy lets go. And I'm like, oh shit, got it. So just holding on.
Who's got the bigger will?
That's what it is. For me though, I've been choked out a few times. I've been choked out by somebody in this room. I think I was getting my purple belt. Timmy put me to sleep.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, that was one of them. And then one of the Brazilians, I'm not going to say his name, at Maxercise, he got me. And right when they woke me up, I was like, man, I was going to sign the check. They just handed me the check. They just handed me the big check that said you won $50 million and you guys woke me up and fucked the whole thing up. Like I came right out. But even when you choked me out, I went right into it where I was like, "They're gonna. What do you guys think? I'm lazy because I'm sleeping on the mat." That was the day. There was it was funny because it was hard, of course, to fight yours off, which it didn't work. But some of the other people,
clock choke, I believe.
Some of the other people, I was just like, no. I remember there was one guy. He was like, I knew you weren't gonna let me do that. I was like, there's no way in hell I was gonna let anybody do that. But one of my early on, the first time I got choked out, I remember the first time. I'm in my man. I've been watching UFC 1 or 2, right? I don't know where I was getting my information from, but I didn't know what I was doing. And I was like, yo, I know how to stop this choke. And we're in my boy's kitchen, son, my man B, probably, 17, 18. And I'm like, watch, go ahead, put it on me. And he fucking rear nakeds me, bang, he starts to hit. And yo, maybe in 3 seconds, I'm gone. I'm out. And he thinks I'm messing around. He thinks I'm trying to flip him over. No, I fell to my knees.
Dead limp.
And then my fucking head hits the stove. Oh. This is him telling me, right?
Ooh.
And then I wake up and he's over me and I'm like, Kevin? I'm saying my brother's name. Because I instantly went into REM sleep, son. Yeah. You know what I mean? Boom. That was why. I do have another one, but that's a little crazy.
Right.
Yo, I went right to sleep and I was just, and then I had this haze. It's probably the concussion I never knew
but
I had.
But you always feel, at least I recall, always feel refreshed coming up out of a chokeout.
Yes. Yeah. The other times I have, but this one, I felt weird because my head hit a stove.
Yeah, so, I could understand that.
And the I wanted to talk about the look on someone's face when they've done it successfully. Like, because another guy did Pete. And when Pete got me, I was doing the same thing. I was like, nah, he's not getting this head and arm. This is bullshit. He can't fucking, he doesn't know what he's doing. Boom, he gets me. And then when I come back up real quick, his face is pale white. He's scared as hell. He's like, oh my God, because he heard me gargle.
Right.
And it was just the look on their face when they get you is pretty funny. My man B, he was white. He was just like, I thought you were trying to flip me over.
I'm never like, I don't know. Whether it's because I've been choked out or I've seen so many people choked out, I don't get nervous at all. Like when I see somebody choked out, I'm just like, I see a lot of people like rushing and like trying to turn them over.
He'll be fine.
Leave him there. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, let him go.
Yeah. You can't panic in those situations. And we've been around jiu-jitsu and MMA enough to know that he's fine and he'll wake up.
If he doesn't wake up in a minute, then you worry.
Yes.
But, if the guy, and it's the scary part is when people are like, gurgling, flopping,
right,
snorting.
Yo,
that's kind of like, it's unsettling, but if you've seen enough times, you know that's what happens.
That's part of the process.
Right. So listen, right here, let's clear it up for the nation, for Ninja Nation. What's the protocol when you put someone to sleep, how to help them, come back? Because I've seen people grab their legs, lift them up,
right,
do
so
this.
People lift the legs up. Some people will sit them up and smack the back.
Some
back
do
and
that,
back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have some old judo books, and that's what they say. Somebody, you sit them up, and you smack them on the back.
Okay.
I just leave them wherever they are.
Don't y'all play with their balls sometimes? Huh? I've seen these African dudes like playing with somebody's balls, wake them up.
What website were you on?
Yeah.
Hey, man, listen.
Was it a website?
That's a different podcast. Dev,
I doubt that helps.
I mean, it could be fun.
You remember that? You remember the dude?
I've seen it.
What was that? Where he reaches the...
That guy was just an opportunist.
Yeah. But a couple of them was yanking my man's meat. Like,
really?
Yeah, I think they were all just...
So that's the consensus. You just start jerking a person off.
I don't think that is a way of waking a guy up.
No, okay. I just leave him there.
You're probably going to rush blood somewhere else that it doesn't need to get rushed to at that moment.
But the legs up, legs down, no, it doesn't. Just sit them up, sit them down.
I've always lifted the legs up.
Got you.
I've used that as a way just in...
You lift up the legs to get blood to the head.
Yes.
Right. Right. That's it? That's the best we got.
I've never done anything there.
He's like, just leave
him. Leave him alone. He'll be okay.
He dies.
You roll them onto their back minimally.
That's why that white girl
they swallow their tongue
us.
That way. If anything, you put them on their side.
They don't. That's swallowing their tongue is a wives' tale.
No,
it's not a real thing.
Not at all.
It's not a real thing.
You turn them on their side. What if they could choke on their vomit?
What if they're what? That's why you're there. You lift them up if they start throwing up.
No, you put them on their side.
Okay, whatever, but you don't let them choke on their vomit. But swallowing the tongue is not a thing.
Yeah, definitely.
You can't really do that?
No.
Got you.
Okay.
I mean, that's what they tell us, though, with my girl's seizures and stuff, that they can swallow their tongue.
Oh, there you go.
Or
she's having a seizure. It's not from being choked out. Different. Different physiological response.
You just said it was
response.
Impossible to swallow your tongue.
In the context of getting choked out.
I mean, I don't think it's... I think they mean something different by that. It's impossible. It does seem impossible.
I've been watching...
Your tongue is already in your throat.
I've been watching a lot of clips.
Exactly.
You occlude the airway.
And why don't you just swallow it?
By swallowing the tongue.
But no, the tongue blocks it. It occludes it. You would know. You've become an expert in medical examinations and stuff.
You've seen all those autopsy films and about all the serial killers. So, hate on sight. Dev, hate on sight. You got one?
Give me a
Not
second.
Yet? All right. Timmy?
This happened to me yesterday.
Let's go.
And it's, I'm sick of the masks.
Okay.
I was at the grocery store.
Sick of wearing them?
Yes. But it never really bothered me until last night. It was, I had things in my hand and I had to sneeze. And I sneezed directly into the mask.
That's how it works, bro.
And it wasn't like a bunch of snot. It was just a blast of spittle.
Do you think you got a lot of droplets out?
Wait a minute. Yeah, a blast of what?
A blast
spittle?
Of spittle.
Droplets.
Okay, I like it. Spittle.
And it was just, then I was walking around the rest of the store with a fucking wet, soaking wet.
Until
you feel it on your nose.
Yeah.
So then I was thinking, I was like, well, all right, what should I have done? Should I have pulled my mask down and just fucking sneezed
on everybody?
Since you've recovered from COVID, that would have likely been the safest thing.
Right. Yeah, I know. But like, what if you see somebody in the store do that, if they're like, and then they put their mask back up.
Yo, I ask him, what's your COVID status?
Masks.
That's your hate on sight right now. Got you. Marco.
My hate on sight is watching anything that used to... So if I've seen it done by people from England, and then I see it done by people from America...
Like speaking English?
No, even speaking. Just
yo,
even like a TV show, YouTube channel, Top Gear... The British version, if I see it first, is always way better, and I hate the American version.
Like, can't nice.
Wow.
Yeah, I've never seen I never saw the British version of The Office.
Neither did I. Marco just helped me, but continue.
That's it.
So I can't see something that they've brought over from England if I've seen it in British English.
Right.
I just can't. I fucking hate it.
Got you.
Yeah.
Cheerio and all that stuff.
Yeah. But pip.
Let's go.
I actually had one earlier. I can't remember it, but Marco's is, mine is the opposite. I hate British accents with a fucking passion.
Really?
Bro, I just tried, like, my girl knows.
Yo, if you start talking to me in British right now, I would think you have a PhD.
So look, when I can watch stuff like Game of Thrones and everything like that, and I'm cool with that. But, like, what's the dude, Ewan McGregor? Is that his name?
Ewan.
Ewan McGregor. So I tried to watch this TV series.
I think he's Irish.
With him. Is he?
Same thing.
Not Izzy.
No. Oh, he said not Izzy. Well, don't fuck with that either. I don't fuck with that accent either. But like when I listen to like somebody tried to get me to watch Top Boy on Netflix, and I turned it on, and I can't watch it because of the accent.
Okay.
It's something about it, bro, that just bothers the shit out of me, bro. I can't watch it, and I hate it.
Real English people, they can, like, there's different versions of it. So they can tell you whether you're from London or you're from, like, the slums. Yeah.
Is there one
called
like Cockney or something like that?
Cockney,
like,
people from Birmingham are called Brummies.
Right. It's even the slang words that they use are always just like, "I had a buddy, he's a geezer." It's like, fuck.
Yeah.
But I could. That's the same here. Like I know a Philly accent. I know talking to one of the guys at the school. I know how word, like, if you're from Long Island, you don't say Long Island. You say Long Island. Like, the way you say it, I'll ask him. Or my brother, we from the Bronx, but my brother, he grew up a majority of his life, my older brother. So when he says the Bronx, he says it in a way that you know he's from there. So it's real interesting.
I find time on an all-American accent.
They're right? On the Grand Concourse with the World Javelins and all that other bullshit.
All-American city accents are hilarious.
Yeah?
Like, when I think of, like, a New York dude talking, it's so funny.
Oh, come on. We love
funny.
That. I love it, son. I love
like
it.
A baby, B.
Like a baby, B.
Crime Faces is it to the pinnacle.
Yeah, Crime Faces. Definitely got it down.
And Timmy's man, Big Body Best. Timmy loves Big Body Best.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Nah, he's Action Bronson's man. One of his men.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. For me, it's my hate on sight.
Is it Young Torso?
Young Torso, son. He's like a full of street situations. He's ridiculous. For me, it's shitty training partners. So I was in class the other day. I was, I'm sitting there. Most of the people probably see me
there. In class?
No. I was in the class.
This is all very interesting.
I'm in the class and I'm watching. No. I'm just watching. And I'm watching.
And judging. This.
And I'm judging. What I'm noticing is how much of a good job everyone's doing, right? And it was young, one young man, happened to be the young man that wrote that email not too long ago, helping his partner. And I was looking at him, and I was happy for the school, I was happy for you, and I was happy for him. Because he was really helping this guy, and he was really doing it the right way. And it made me think of all the shitty ones that I've seen in the past, the guys that thought they knew how to hold pads and end up hurting you in some weird way. So that brought back some memories of some of shitty training partners, guys that are not in the fight with you, helping you out.
But are they shitty because they're inexperienced, or are they shitty because they don't give a fuck?
The shitty ones are the ones that, so the fighters are usually the shittiest because they don't give a fuck, because they don't really want to hold pads for you anyway. They just want you to hold pads for them, and then they want to leave.
Right, they're typically, right? Like, with the exception of the
and
few
then
guys.
Then there's the guys that think they know what they're doing.
Yes, they're the worst.
They're the high level in their mind guys, yes. Those guys.
They'll never be as good as they think.
Right, those are the guys that are like, they're a detriment to their partner. And that's what I hate when I see that. And I didn't see it. I didn't see it the other day. I saw these guys working. And yo, shout out to your man. Like, that kid was helping. And it was, you know, he looks like a grown-ass man to me. So, but I saw him and I thought about all the work that's being done in that place. And, you know, whoever runs that place is doing a good job. So.
I wonder who's doing that.
Yes. Nah, but that's my hate on site. So, what's your, Timmy, McDonald's order right now, son? What would it be? The old Timmy, new Timmy.
Big Mac, fish filet,
cheese.
The fish filet with cheese is so underrated.
We going surf and turf, son? For real?
Yeah. This is what you're doing.
I would get one Big Mac.
Okay.
And then I would probably get two fish filets.
Really?
And then like a 6-piece McNugget and then a large fry.
Damn, this is son? One meal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually when early on during the pandemic on a cheat meal, I ordered a bunch of, because there was a McDonald's down the street.
Nice.
And I Uber Eats'd it. To my house. It was like $50. It was like $50.
You could have walked there, but
20, yeah, no. 20 of it is service fees and delivery.
Yeah, so it was like $50 for that exact order.
Right. but so you had this recently?
I had it like probably about a year ago.
Okay. Listen, COVID time, that's yesterday.
I hadn't had McDonald's in probably 10 years.
Yeah, I haven't had it in a long
time. It's really good, shitty food.
The McNugget has changed.
I'm going to tell you something. I know what a Big Mac tastes like. Like, when you say it, instantaneously, I can taste it. I know what a Big Mac tastes like. So,
is it me or has the McNugget changed in the last 20 years?
I believe they've tried to bring them up, right?
I miss the old McNugget.
It tasted basically the same to me.
Really?
What I really miss from McDonald's, not to cut you off, but it's the old apple pie. That deadly fucking
deadly hot
lava.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I think you could successfully hold up a bank with about 10 fucking.
You at least
hot
get somebody
pies,
a third
bro.
Degree
you
burn
hit,
with
ah,
it.
You hit somebody, you hit the bank manager in the face, son. No, head teller in the face. She's screaming on the ground. And you say, you want to be fucking next? Open this.
But you got to wear a kitchen glove. When
of
you
course
do
you got to do so, because you're going to fuck yourself up.
I was never a big fan of the apple pie.
Fuck, dude. Awesome.
Bro, you don't know what you're missing, son.
I did like the McFlurries were pretty good.
Yeah.
No, I never got into the McFlurry, oddly.
Yeah,
and the
those
just
are for
basic
McWeirdos.
Their basic like hot fudge sundae was good.
Really?
Okay, hot fudge. Yes, I could get behind the hot fudge sundae.
I was just an apple pie.
It was
just,
it was cool. It was in like a tall sort of cup, kind of like the reverse of this.
Yes,
like thinner on the bottom. They have fudge in the bottom, little fudge on top, and then
listen, yeah. Yo, listen
now you
to
remember.
Listen to the memories, bro. Look at the memories.
Memories.
Yeah, Margo.
Largest Coke that they sell, light ice, two apple pies.
That's a real fat guy move right
yo,
there.
Yo, for real, son.
The light ice.
Light ice.
You don't want to get skimped on the sugar.
All the soda.
That's the true fat man move. Light ice.
You know what I mean?
Takes one to know one.
That's
right?
It, bro. Listen, man.
That said, the two apple pies right now would be the double quarter pounder with cheese.
Really?
Yeah, double quarter pounder with cheese.
Because it's springtime.
It's a no.
In the spring.
Because that's the best bang for the buck.
But also, they're using actual beef. Like, it's 100% beef burger now.
Half a pounder.
Yeah, half a pounder. And probably some nuggets, a 20 piece nugget back in the day. Yeah,
back in the day.
20
back
piece nugget.
What was there was the great story of you. Where were you up in fucking Buffalo, Rochester? Somewhere?
Riding around,
Riding around.
In a Nissan NX 2000 that somebody left in my brother's shop for months, so I just took it as my own.
Wow.
Yeah, and just
commandeered it.
I would just eat in the car.
You guys don't like the fish filet?
I love it. If I had to make one order right now, part of it would be the old school apple pie.
Old school apple pie.
Then a strong second is the double fillet of fish.
Yeah.
The two fillet of fish.
Oh yeah?
I only do the one.
So but you just said two. You did two not
I would get two, but not a double.
I'm talking about the double sandwiches. Because the tartar, was that tartar sauce on there?
Yeah, tartar sauce.
Amazing.
The combination of the tartar sauce, the yellow cheese, and the fish.
The bread.
Yeah. I don't know if that's cheese, but whatever that is, that yellow melted
cheese
thing?
Product.
If you eat their bun by itself, tastes like a cupcake.
Oh, it's
got so much sugar in it. Yeah.
Bro, you can leave it in the backseat of your car for a couple years and then you can just chomp on it. You know what I mean? If you ever get stuck, Dev, wait. McDonald's order right now.
I don't eat
here
McDonald's.
Here we go. Here we go.
It's your last.
No.
All right. Then hold on.
It's the only food left on earth.
What would be your go-to fast food? Even if you haven't eaten. I know your body's a temple and you live as such.
No. It's not Chick-fil-A. Okay.
Are you
what if it's Sunday?
It's Sunday.
Bang. Break into Chick-fil-A.
Bang.
Nah, if it's Sunday, I'm going to Wendy's, God.
Really?
Wendy's is the best.
Let's hear
yes.
it.
Yes.
Let's
when
hear
it comes to the burgers.
Wendy's is the best?
Wendy's is the best. So
you can't just throw that out.
The fries are excellent.
Listen.
So which,
fries
like,
at Wendy's?
I will still go to Wendy's now and order like three burger
the
patties.
DMX isn't the only one. Because
it's all 100% beef.
I would argue that if you get the, have you gotten a quarter pounder from McDonald's in the last couple years?
No.
It is up there, maybe even better than the Wendy's burger since they've gone to 100% beef. So, and you notice how serious I'm getting.
Yeah, it's like very serious right now.
Yeah.
So what's the order at Wendy's on a Sunday, bro? Don't tell me Mandarin chicken salad. I don't want to hear that bullshit.
Bro, I'm just going to get me a regular burger, a double burger meal. You know what I'm saying? Right. Large, everything. Lemonade, no ice at all.
Okay. Lemonade, no ice.
I want my whole drink.
We know what the ice industrial complex is trying to
do.
Us,
like, it's very European.
Hey, man, listen, man.
You don't do ice in Europe.
No, but if it's a 32-ounce cup, you want is almost 32 ounces.
I mean, that's what I need.
I need to be hydrated.
Yeah, bro, is there ice in the fucking bottle that I buy out of the store?
If I'm not in a diabetic coma, like at least a Jace, then it's not. I'm not really doing anything, son.
No, I don't want to steal your shine.
Hey, listen, because it seems like that's what's going to happen.
Every once in a while, but, you know, this is our show.
Reel me in. Yes.
If you had one soft drink or fast food drink to order, what would it be? One. You could go to anywhere. It doesn't have to be Sunday. You have one drink to order. I'll tell you what mine is before somebody steals it. The lemonade at Chick-fil-A.
Oh, come on, son.
The lemonade at Chick-fil-A?
Tops.
Nah.
Sonic. Burger.
All right.
Cherry limeade.
It's unbelievable. I've never been there.
Yeah. Sonic is amazing, bro. Listen, Sonic is amazing.
There's just not enough of them around.
Yo, bro, they have a soft pretzel that's shitting on Annie Ann's pretzels, bro. I told my girl that she didn't believe me the other day. She finally was like, let me get one.
Isn't it Aunt Annie's?
Who cares?
Listen, man. I'm sorry, bro. Sorry.
It would be Auntie Ann's.
Auntie Ann's. So for you, that's a
a strong, bro. What about you, Timmy?
I would go to 7-Eleven and do the multiple
sodas. Oh, got you.
And there's a real fat kid move right
there. That's not a fat guy move. That's a childish move.
It's a childish fat kid.
My brother was not fat. He did the same thing.
Your brother trended towards fat.
Listen.
Yeah, I've seen him.
Not even close.
Come on, bro.
That's a state of mind as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Red Gatorade.
Red.
That's the flavor. Red. So listen, this is so we would train.
Hold on. I call in a violation.
Why?
That is not fast food. You
get it at 7-Eleven.
Yeah,
you can get it, but you get it at Wawa. I was going to go into
can't
the
go in bottle. Not bottle
no,
service.
It was. It's not a bottle service.
You can get Gatorade out of a tap.
You can get red. I've only seen green.
It's only green.
It was red.
You can't get red.
Nah, you can get red, son. On the joint out there on Collins Ave. The karate school is right next to it.
All right, so I'm going to have to roll back roll violation.
Back. Nah. So listen, I would be done karate, right? I was young. I was probably like a real young rank, yellow belt, white belt. So I would do karate. And I would just go to the Wawa, right? So I would get the biggest cup I found, and I get a straw, and I pop the straw, and I put my straw in the cup, and I'd put the cup on the machine, and I'd start.
So you'd siphon. You'd siphon.
And I'd start sucking out the red Gatorade. And yo, I did this, and then I would just.
How long till you
then
got
I would
caught?
Go like this. Then I'm like, nah. And then I would just dump it after I filled my fucking belly, right? Yo, no idea that I was stealing. Like, I didn't know that was. I was just gaming the system last president.
Come on, son.
If I'm winning, I'm winning.
I got you. It's your show.
So, I'm drinking. And then, Timmy, I would kind of like, no, you know what? I'm okay. I'd dump it out. And then I'd walk out. Yo, I did
this. You put the cup back?
Yeah. I would just throw it in the trash. Yo, I would do this. I did this like 10 fucking times before I realized it. I was like, wait a minute. This constitutes shoplifting. And that was my to go. You walk up. There was a small Wawa. There's only a few small Wawas left. And now it's a pantry because a AK-47 bullet went through the magazine rack after going through someone's head. And then it went into some girl's arm who was in there. So I'd walk in there.
Yo, is the guy dead? Leave. What do you mean is he fucking dead?
Yo, bro, what the fuck is wrong with Marco, bro? What is wrong?
Yes, he's dead. Yes.
That's a Wu-Tang reference for all there, you, there for
it
you is. Tim.
That's what it was. Yo, did you ever get, so you got your order, you got your hit on site, all right.
Yeah, man, so that's how I know you don't watch no MMA. We not talking about none of that shit?
We can. What do you want to talk about? You didn't niggas in their shorts fighting? Like, yeah, that's what they do. We know what it is. You know what I mean?
You watch Bellator last night?
Listen, Mighty Mouse.
He got knocked out.
Okay, with the knee.
Yeah, and what do you think Aljamain is saying right now?
And he was talking shit
popping
about
shit,
Aljamain getting knocked out by the... That's what made it funny.
No, he was saying it should be allowed.
No, he was saying it should be allowed. It's just ironic in his next fight...
I think that's perfect example of irony right there.
It's amazing. And then the punches to the back of the head. That was kind of weak, man. That
Eddie Alvarez getting disqualified.
Oh, Alvarez, yeah, that was weak. Huh? Yeah. That was weak, man. Weak as hell.
Gotcha.
But
we got Kevin Holland versus Marvin Vittori tonight.
And this is all right now.
They're fighting right now.
That shit started early this morning.
Why? Where are they?
In Abu Dhabi?
In Vegas, though. Bro, they're fighting.
They might be starting the prelims.
So this is
it's the UFC on ABC today.
On ABC?
So they're probably doing prelims right
now. Prelims started at like 10 or 11 this morning. Yeah,
are you talking about the UFC or are you talking about Bellator?
You're talking about UFC right now.
UFC started so early today. Look, these are all the wins already for the day. Like, this shit was...
That's crazy. That's an early start.
Been going on. I don't know what's happening, but they've been fighting since earlier, man. Well, I don't know.
That ruined my night.
I'm sure there's going to be more fights tonight, right? Or no? You think they're all on now?
Anybody know who won? Mashita and Bader last night?
I know Mashita lost. I believe Mashita lost. I think I saw something that was like Bader avenged his loss. That's what I read. Yeah. You know?
No. Oh,
not 100%.
ABC's main card starts at 3 p.m. It's 4:30.
There you go. That's what it is, son.
That's the gayest shit.
Really?
Again, first it was bum ass bitches. Now it's.
Yeah, but listen, when I said bum ass bitches,
I'm trying to pin that on him. Yeah. You don't have to take it.
Take no offense to it, ladies. Because if you're not a bum ass bitch, only bum ass bitches should be upset about that comment. Timmy, do we have any questions? So, Marco, we have questions?
We got a
Timmy's
couple.
Got them.
All right, let's go.
Dead air. That's always a sin. That's a sin in radio.
I can keep talking. That's what we got. You know, I could talk about more about apple pies.
Blame the producer.
Yes, I guess it is my fault. I didn't have you on deck. Pardon me.
I want to see how good you handle.
It's Timmy's fault.
The sign off. I want to see how you. I want to see if you have the same synergy to send over the sign off the way Marco just telepathically tells him when to be done.
He hits him with the curve.
It was a decision.
Okay. This is from Jordan Kelly, loyal listener. Great question. Submitter.
Is he upset that he looks like the Red Skull, or is that Jordan Peterson?
I don't know.
Jordan Peterson has come out upset that he looks like the Red Skull.
Oh. Okay. Who's the Red Skull?
What?
What?
You non-comic book.
I know, right?
What comic book is it?
Marvel. He's been in a lot of stuff. Captain America. Yeah. He was part of Infinity Wars.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of that stuff. All right. I joined jiu-jitsu to learn self-defense and for fun. I want my jiu-jitsu to be effective in an altercation, or if I choose to do MMA. And I want it to be at least a little bit fun. I've kind of decided that the best way to get the best out of both worlds is to have a stand-up game that's high level for jiu-jitsu standards. My old wrestling coach had us pick our favorite shot, then find a million setups and ties to get there. But I notice a lot of high-level instructionals focus on a single tie and a bunch of different options shots off of it. What is the best way to get a solid takedown game? What's the best tie and shot for self-defense /MMA? Will focusing on takedowns hinder me in the long run if people just pull guard in competition?
Thank you for those 10 questions.
So here's the first question. What is the best way to get a solid takedown game?
I mean, clearly you got to practice it, right? I mean, there's one of the things, and it has to be something that you can't always start from the floor, because that's what most jiu-jitsu schools will start from. So you have to make the effort to start from your feet, number one, to get that comfort level, but also to understand stance and movement, which is way more important to learning how to take people down than actually the takedown itself.
Right.
Stance and movement first, then, you know, what your either your instructors are most comfortable teaching you, if you already come with takedown experience or wrestling experience or judo experience, then fitting that into a jiu-jitsu or MMA framework, then you have to do that. But stance and footwork, much more important to getting comfortable and good at doing takedowns than the actual takedown itself.
Yeah.
Got you.
That, and then I guess I agree with his coach, is pick a move and focus on that. And jiu-jitsu takedowns are a little bit different than wrestling or judo. A lot of judo takedowns will put you in bad position. Wrestling takedowns will put you in bad position. So find one, not that they don't work, just find one of those that puts you in good position in jiu-jitsu and then focus on that.
Right.
I would say that I like, you have a bag full of takedowns, whichever they are, if they're judo style, whatever, and adapt them to yourself and make sure that you're executing them well. But have that bag and dig in for one and dig in for the other, but build that bag over the course of your training. That way you have more than just one option.
It's a tough bag to fill when you're filling it with other things too, right? Yeah. There's the issue.
It's a big bag.
Yeah.
And he's trying to fight, like, he didn't say just in competition.
He said also in self-defense.
That's the next question.
In self-defense, okay, he doesn't have to worry about getting guillotined if he does, like, a wrestling takedown and gives
the person. What's the best tie and shot for self-defense/MMA?
I would say double underhooks if you could get the clinch. If you're wanting to get it to the ground in self-defense or MMA, who just got knocked out?
Ooh.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
So for self-defense and MMA, clinch, double underhooks, and some sort of trip or level, or not a deep level change, but a shallow level change to a, you know, like a pull in or something like that, where it's somewhat safe and you're landing on top of your partner and you're not so worried about the guard. So
my pulling game is strong.
Yeah, I think similar upper body, like, so collar ties, body locks, trips, and then because those kind of like working upper body kind of stuff. It's less likely to work in a grappling match when guys are just kind of focused on staying away from that kind of stuff. But in a fight or an MMA fight, it's very easy to get to a body locker.
But it's also exhausting for the other guy if he's not used to it too. Like, if you're upper body fighting somebody and they're not used to that upper body fight, it's disheartening.
And in a self-defense situation, a hard takedown really takes the steam out of a lot of people. What I would say before that is, though, avoid conflict at all costs. Train as hard as you want.
But if you have to,
you know, stay ready, but I don't want any problems.
Will focusing on takedowns hinder me in the long run if people just pull guard in competition?
No. So if you're focused on competition, maybe, but I think you need to, you know, if they're pulling guard because they're worried about your takedowns, that's great, because that means you have a good top game. And if you have a good top game, you have a good passing game. So then if you have a good passing game, you don't give a shit if they're pulling guard.
Yeah, it's always better to be on top. So no, it won't hinder you. If you're forcing people to pull guard on you, then no, it won't. It just makes your job easier. Because I assume you're doing takedowns to get on top of the person.
Right.
So
just don't dive into their guard, right? Like if they're sitting, approach it strategically so that you can maximize your passing.
All right.
High level technical stuff. Go ahead.
Yes.
Next question.
Same guy, right?
Yeah.
Because I think that question was from a couple weeks ago. We never got to it.
March 25th.
Okay.
When I guess you forgot to get to his question.
No, because you were handling the show. But
oh, because you called out. Yeah, you is that canceled at the last minute. So
is
I was
that when he gave us Corona?
You were scrambling? You were scrambling?
Scrambling to put the show together. I could tell. What do you guys think separates the highest level guys when trying to make a comeback? A good example of this happened when this weekend, so he's talking about the NCAAs. Zahid versus Bo Nickel in the last 30 seconds of the semifinals of the trials. Both had a chance to take the victory, but Bo really showed why he's one of the best.
So when he means a comeback, when you're
comeback
losing a match?
In a match.
Okay. So you're losing the match. And so can you read the question again?
What do you think separates the highest level guys when trying to make a comeback, like coming back from behind and winning? What separates the highest level guys coming from behind to win?
So Bo Nickel didn't win the weight class, right? So he's not the highest level guy in that weight class. He's unbelievably high level, right? But I think it's part of it is confidence. Most of it is confidence and knowing that it doesn't matter what the score is, I can win. The other part of it is conditioning. Because if it's late in a match and you need to pull something out and you're tired, you're not going to pull it out. So confidence and conditioning, I think, are the two main elements that will help you if you're down in a match and it's close enough where one or two moves can make it work for you, then those are the two things. Like, clearly, if you're the highest level, your technique is at the highest level, so we're not worried about that.
Okay.
But, so, you know, the guys are wrestling for the world team trials. their technique is great. They might have some techniques that are better than others, but it's the guy that's better conditioned and more confident is going to be able to pull it out at the end.
Yeah, confidence, conditioning. It's interesting when sometimes you see this in all sports. It could be a football game. It could be a wrestling match. It could be a fight where like one person's winning or one team is winning, but they're trying to protect their lead. And the other person is nonstop attacking because they're behind. They have nothing to lose. Whereas the person that's ahead is just trying to hold on and not lose. So whenever you're in a match where somebody's focused on not losing and the other person's focused on winning, that is a bad matchup. So being focused on winning, not necessarily like I have to make up this score. It's just I have to win. Just like the mental focus on winning is the most important thing. And if you have that, you'll condition yourself well and you'll have confidence.
All right. Where do you see the sport going in the next 5 years? I'm really interested in the sports jiu-jitsu aspect of it.
It's gonna get bigger. It's gonna be huge.
Yeah, was the thing April Fool's?
I don't know. It just made for great conversation, regardless.
It was.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be in the Olympics, but it's just gonna continue to. It's grown so much in the last couple years, with like.
It will only grow to the degree participation grows.
Right. What's that?
It will only grow to the degree that participation grows.
Which is growing.
It's still growing, even during the pandemic. Extreme. That's great.
Yeah, so I talked to the guys at the martial arts place where I buy equipment. And so a couple things you can look at. You look at the section that used to be dedicated to jiu-jitsu and grappling and MMA has grown a lot in the last several years.
Yeah.
Even though the karate stuff and the taekwondo stuff is still the majority of their business, you can see
those guys make way more money on the karate stuff.
Their MMA and jiu-jitsu stuff is growing and growing and growing. Like Pro Force is making like specific. Yeah. It used to be just judo gis. Now they're making specific jiu-jitsu gis. Now they're making rash guards. Now they're making like grappling shorts. So it's continuing to grow. And if you see that stuff happening, then you know that it's growing because that business wouldn't be putting the money into it.
Because the demand's there.
And if you look at ADCC in 2017 compared to 2019 or 20, whenever the last one was, 19. This huge difference in the size of the crowd. Because now you're having a guy like Seth Daniels, a guy that knows how to promote things. Putting that effort into a show that wasn't really promoted to get viewers. Now,
and what's cool about what Fight to Win does and what ADCC can do is that it highlights guys that don't want to get punched in the face, but gives them a platform, literally a platform to compete on. But my question to you, to piggyback off of JB's question, is where do you see, like, if you had to say, I see grappling becoming close in popularity to this other niche sport, what would it be?
I don't know, like an X Games, a BMX kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Like at a certain point, you'll see it on like on a sports network.
Right.
You know, I think.
Like at 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
I just have a tough time.
I think it'll be on a weekend or something.
Yeah.
Like
a Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
Sunday. It's just like we could all sit back and watch like X Games and appreciate X Games for the stunts and the trickery. It's tough sometimes if you really don't know grappling or have been involved with grappling to appreciate it if you're not a seasoned fan.
I think it's kind of the same with X Games. Like I'm like, I don't give a fuck if a guy's flipping a bike over. Like
I think it's awesome.
Right.
It's impressive, but it's just not.
Nah, it's different though. He's right. I think he's
But are you comparing it to fighting or you just jiu-jitsu?
No.
Because I understand what Marco's saying because you have to have at least a certain amount of technical knowledge to see what's going on. Because remember the early days where you'd hear a guy, check his oil. Like you hear all this stupid shit coming from the crowds because they didn't know what was going on. This is stupid.
I think it is starting to get into people that don't train.
Right.
People are following
the UFC. The UFC game has clearly 100%, helped that.
100%. Yeah, but jiu-jitsu as a sport, jiu-jitsu itself.
But like when you watch like the Olympics and girls are flipping, right? You know how you look
gymnastics.
At gymnastics. No, I'm just saying, in anything they're doing, right? They're flipping, right?
Right.
You know flipping. You're impressed by flipping, whether a person's doing it on the street, whatever.
Yeah,
picking the landing apart. We felt like she killed it. They're looking at it like,
it was off. That's a 9-4.
Well, that's the judging. That's all the judging.
Like, there was a height, it was the way her body angled. because they understand it deeper. But when they're watching two dudes wrestling around on the floor, it's just two dudes wrestling around on the floor. There's nothing that looks cool about it. BMX, a dude jumping his bike from one thing to another and like spinning it by the handlebars, right, and then landing back on it. People know that's difficult to do. When people watch people wrestling, they think, man, I could get on the ground and wrestle that guy.
Yeah, but I think when you see high-level jiu-jitsu, you see a guy strangling somebody or breaking his arm or a guy screaming in pain and tapping out in the mat, I think that kind of stuff, people see that, they're like, what the fuck happened?
But they still think they can do it. Until you fight a dude that knows how to fight, you really feel like, you know, you can't do that with the bike.
Yeah.
You're like, there's no way I'm flipping off that. Yeah. But people are like, man, I'll fucking slam that dude on his fucking head until you get in there with him.
Yeah, people say the same thing about fighting, though. The amount of people that say
But it's MMA, boxing, kickboxing, it's not there. There's a ton of nuance, but as a fan, you don't have to understand the nuance to appreciate what's going on.
And you can see that Mike Tyson combo and be like, I can't dodge that. When he you're like, dog, I don't want no smoke. That's what helps to elevate it, is people say they're doing amazing things. It's harder to get that across with,
like, we appreciate Gordon Ryan.
I'll bet you guys each a dollar 5 years from now
that what
the jiu-jitsu will be jiu-jitsu on Sunday, Sunday
jiu-jitsu will be afternoon. On a sports network, grappling will be
it
on.
Might be the grappling sports network.
Yeah, right.
Hey, it doesn't matter. It'll be on your Roku box.
ESPN 12.
I'll book the bet.
You're booking the bet.
You don't want any of this action.
I want the action to flow through
me.
I'm going to book the bet.
No, I'm betting you a dollar.
No. So we need another end of the bet then.
I'm betting him a dollar and I'm betting him a dollar.
So then, all right, cool. I got it. I've middled the bet.
Peace.
Tim and I would like to thank our sound engineer and studio owner, Devin Wade, for always doing a great job with the sound, but also the beautiful facility that we get to use here at SFX Studios. We'd also like to thank Eddie Lynn, who takes and donates his time to the podcast to do all the video editing and everything you see on our social media. So really appreciate that from Eddie Lynn. And we'd also like to thank our friend Ralphie Darden, a.k.a. DJ Major Taylor, who gave us the original music that we use. So you're welcome, Tim.
And almost just as importantly as everybody else that he mentioned, we would like to thank all of our listeners that submitted questions.
This is the Ninja Rob Podcast with Marco Perazzo and Tim Carpenter, the podcast for the true martial artist.